I was born with a very rare bone disorder known as cleidocranial dysplasia. Cleidocranial dysplasia affected the way that my bones developed as an adolescent. I've been through probably anywhere from 12 to 15 operations, both minor and major, including reconstructive jaw surgery. I went through 8 years of some of the most excruciatingly painful orthodontic work, and between the ages of 8 years old until I was 21, I never had a full set of teeth. Now, as you can imagine, this had a tremendous impact on my psyche, and I could have very well have ended up as somebody who was incredibly insecure, somebody who felt like they were a victim, and somebody that ultimately was terrified to be the best version of myself. However, when I was 11 years old, I had a very good friend of mine named Sean, and for whatever reason, Sean decided that he wanted to start lifting weights. So, being that Sean was my best friend at the time, I quickly followed suit, and it was the most incredible decision of my life. Instead of being shy and timid, I ended up being a very confident, happy, optimistic, outgoing, and gregarious individual. That is the power of a keystone habit, and that is going to be today's topic, keystone habits. Let's get into it. All right, guys. So before beginning here, I just kind of want to go into what a habit is and then maybe just quickly cover what's happening from a neurological perspective, just to kind of set the tone. So when we're talking about habits, there are three components that you can think of. You have the cue, you have the routine, and then you have the reward. The cue is going to be anything that triggers a specific action or behavior. The routine is the action or behavior itself. And then the reward is ultimately going to be what reinforces that action or behavior. Now, as you can imagine, at the very beginning of any habit, it's very difficult. It's difficult to make that a part of your routine. You really have to think about it. It takes a lot of effort. And the reason being is because when we first start implementing a habit, we're activating what's called the prefrontal cortex. And that is in the executive function side of the brain. And it takes a tremendous amount of cognitive energy or cognitive load to activate the prefrontal cortex. But over time, when you start to repeat these habits, it then goes to what's referred to as the basal ganglia. And the basal ganglia has a number of functions, but for today's conversation, you can think of it as being something like the automation center. So as you continue to repeat these habits, it then becomes much more automatic and natural and a part of your routine, and you don't have to think about it as much. Now, what's interesting is that when you complete a habit, you release dopamine, right? But as you continue to do these habits over time, what happens is that dopamine spikes and it strengthens your behavior and increases your willingness to take on new, more challenging habits. I love that. That's called dopamine priming. We're going to get into habit stacking here shortly, but I just wanted to lay that out because it's going to be pretty important for today's discussion around keystone habits. So let's get into it. So what is a keystone habit? I have it defined as such: a single behavior that rewires your identity, reshapes how you think, what you do, and how the world responds to you. It is not what you do, it is who you are. Now, there's two key components to a keystone habit that make it so profound. The first one is that it has what's referred to as the ripple effect, meaning that it doesn't just impact one area of your life, it can have the power to impact multiple areas of your life. The second component here is that it helps shape identity. It is not just how you perceive yourself, but it is how other people perceive you. Now, a couple of examples that I have for the keystone habit. The first one, of course, is fitness. can help you improve your confidence, give you more energy, teaches you discipline and resilience. Then you have family rituals, strengthens emotional safety and bonding, teaches presence and prioritization, and has the ability to help improve mental health. Then prayer and meditation, whether you're religious or spiritual, it can help regulate your nervous system, reinforce intention and gratitude, and helps enhance decision making. So those are just a couple that I have listed. You can probably throw in journaling in there as well. But as long as it meets the criteria of having the ability to impact multiple areas of your life and is something that you can tie back to your identity, I would say would fall into category of a keystone habit. So let's move on. If your habits feel forced at all, it's likely that you're missing one of three things that help drive motivation. And this is tied back to the self-determination theory that states that we do what we do because we're trying to fulfill three psychological needs. They are autonomy, competence, and relatedness. Autonomy being that you have the freedom to make whatever decision you wish. Competence being that you have the ability to execute on certain behaviors or actions. And relatedness ties back to your ability to connect with other people. Now, when we have these three psychological needs met, this is the emotional fuel that will spark motivation. And it ultimately helps you build your identity. And then we can start building habits around that identity to reinforce it. It's referred to as identity-based habits. Okay, so just really quickly, I want to give you an example of what that looks like. So let's take the example of fitness. Fitness is the habit. The behavior is ultimately you consistently going to the gym, you know, 3 to 5 days a week. And then it's ultimately being reinforced by the results that you see. That could be weight loss. It could be strength. It could be, you know, flexibility. It could be a whole host of things. Once you start to see that improvement and you start to really notice that those behaviors or actions are being reinforced, then we start the process of habit stacking. So now we're not just going to the gym. Now we're going to the gym and we're coming home and we're taking in protein or some sort of supplement. And then we're focusing on, okay, well, I want to be prepared for the next day. I'm going to make sure I get good sleep at night. And next thing you know, you're reading books and you're listening to podcasts and you're stacking those habits. And then that ultimately becomes your identity. And now you're the person who's the gym bro or the fitness guru that everybody comes to seek advice and that you ultimately view as yourself. All right, let's wrap up with how you can implement a keystone habit. So first and foremost, what I would recommend doing is identifying anything that's causing you stress or friction, maybe pain points that are leading to some sort of unhappiness in your life. Then clarify what identity, what persona you ultimately want to take on. When you have these two components, you can then start to reverse engineer and understand what behaviors or actions and habits you can deploy on a consistent basis that are going to help you form or move towards this new identity. Now, I have a couple of strategies that I want to discuss on how you can implement these behaviors or these habits on a daily basis. The first one is anchoring it to an existing routine. Now, what I mean by this is, let's say, for example, you wake up and the first thing that you do is you brush your teeth. That comes automatic to you. Anchoring that new behavior or that new habit to the tail end of it. So you wake up, you brush your teeth, and then you start to meditate or you pray. It's a perfect way to then anchor that habit to something that already comes natural to you. The next one is using an environmental cue. I do this all the time. At my desk right now, I have my journal. So as soon as I sit down to go to work, I see my journal. And that is a reminder, that is a cue or trigger to remind me that I should sit down for the next 15 to 20 minutes, journal my emotions, my aspirations, maybe just the things I need to get done that day. The next one is a time-based anchor. So every day at 5 o'clock, you go to the gym. Or every day at 12 o'clock, you go on a walk. That's a great example of using time as an anchor to help formulate and build these new habits. And then the last one is the most profound. Joining a community or a group or finding somebody who's going to hold you accountable. If you can do this, if you can be brave enough to find a group of people that are going to hold you accountable, the likelihood of you sticking with a new routine or building a new habit is tenfold. Highly recommend that one, but like I just mentioned, it takes a little bit of courage, a little bit of vulnerability and bravery, but a tremendous way to incorporate a new habit. All right, guys, that's it for today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I am such a believer of these Keystone habits. I just had to share it. It's done wonders in my own life, as I tried to articulate in that that opening story. But in either case, thank you for your time. Looking forward to the next conversation. I will have a guest on soon, I promise you. I'm bugging two bustas about it. I got one coming on Monday, so I'm excited about it. In either case, thank you so much. Also, if I left out anything in here, feel free to share, you know, other Keystone habits that have worked for you, or other examples you've had, or stories that you've, you know, you've been through. We'd love to hear from you. So, all right, guys, thanks so much.